This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Zetter over there, he's our fabulous producer. We appreciate his help and hard work. Matt Catrillo's our news director. He takes good care of us and sets everything up in the morning for us. He's also our Steve Jones show producer. In the studio with us, he's from Gastroenterology, which is near the of JPM Road, although not every 10. Glad to see you again. Did an update with you a couple of years there in the world. Need any kind of a reminder of your largest.
That is correct.
All right. Well, tell the patients and describe the.
One of the reasons we're out today is that colon cancer is in men and the 2 die per year from colon cancer. Major health effect throughout the. It is really happening, which is. We recommend silent until it's very. We recommend doing screening addicts. So we recommend starting, and then every 10 years if we find possible. And then we would increase cancerous growths that turn into the colon cancer. Symptoms, of course, we have 50. So if you have that, probably the two main lead us to go ahead and do what we were talking earlier. One of the concerning trends is that we've actually seen an increase in colon cancer, where colon cancer in general has decreased over the years. We've seen an increase in those under the age of 50, particularly in those 40 to 50. It led the American Cancer Society last year to actually make the recommendation that we should actually start screening at 45, although all the other kind of organizations that kind of look at that and make recommendations have not gone that far yet.
Especially the insurance companies, I'm sure.
That is true. That is true. Colonoscopy, fortunately, is today, other than the prep, which everybody hates, which is the hardest part, the preparation the day before to clean out the colon, it's painless because you get a nice nap while we do it. And is very safe, relatively speaking.
All right. So, yeah, I remember I had a colonoscopy one time about 10 years ago, so I'm probably due again, but I had to drink like a 55-gallon drum of material that you gave us to mix up. But has that prep changed at all? Medical science is marching on. Please tell me.
There are several preps out there. Still, the problem with the prep is there's always going to be a volume that you have to drink. The reason is that if we gave you something that cleaned you out, that gave you the diarrhea that cleans out the colon, and we didn't give you additional fluid, we would dehydrate everybody and it would lead to more problems. The one place that we have changed the prep is actually now, where in the past, typically you would drink 64 ounces of liquid kind of over a couple of hour period. We've now split that into two pieces, so you'll drink basically 4 8-ounce glasses, maybe 20 to 30 minutes apart. And then about 6 to 8 hours later, you'll drink another 4 glasses. And so the fact that you're not drinking all that volume at one time has made it easier. It also cleans the bowel better, which is also improves our ability to identify polyps and remove them.
Right. Yeah, I was one of those guys that I don't really drink much water or anything, so to drink a full glass of water is rare. To drink two is unheard of. To drink three is just bizarre. Okay, so that's what's new, is that this under 50, and why is there a greater rate of colon cancer under 50?
Nobody knows to date, so that's one of the big mysteries that they're trying to figure out. Is there some reason, but nobody's been able to figure that out at this point.
Well, would it relate to potentially ways to prevent colon cancer? Last time you were here, you talked about enjoying a just not a high fiber diet, but a normal fiber diet, making sure you're using some guidelines. Or is this crowd not getting enough fiber?
I don't think we know, but you're absolutely right. There are certainly factors that are related to increased risk of colon cancer. A diet that's a diet high in fruit seems to give some protection. There's questions. The studies have been variable looking at fiber, whether high fiber really gives you a lot of protection or not. Obviously, smoking is bad. That's one of the things that is very clear.
Smoking and colon cancer?
Yes.
Related.
So smoking increases the risk of colon cancer. Consuming large amounts of alcohol increases the risk of colon cancer. Obesity increases the risk of colon cancer. So there are several things that are health issues that involve a whole series of different organs, but do increase the risk.
I always tell my guests I'm going to ask you 100 questions that you do know the answer to, but I bet I'm going to get an I don't know on this one. The vaping phenomenon. If smoking's connected to colon cancer, is vaping potentially in the future going to be?
again, they don't know what it is that that in smoking that causes that increased risk. So it's going to be hard to tell. I mean, if it was related to nicotine, then definitely that would play, or the vaping could potentially increase that risk. Of course, vaping has such serious implications otherwise for pulmonary health and all of the chemicals that are in the vapor that, you know, and most people are unaware of.
Okay, so that is some of the trends that we're talking about. You mentioned again before we sat down, Cologuard is out there now. I'm not super familiar with it myself, but I've heard of it.
So there's a new test, and most people who watch television will see the Cologuard commercials, and it is an alternate method that has come out for colon cancer screening. The issue that my partners and I have always had with Cologuard is that when our goal is to prevent colon cancer, and the only test that prevents colon cancer is colonoscopy, with Cologuard, what you're trying to do is diagnose colon cancer after it has occurred. And so it's kind of like, rather than preventing the disease, you're trying to catch it before it turns into something bad. Cologuard's ability to detect polyps, for example, which are the precancers, is very poor. For larger polyps, its ability to detect them is only about 42%, so it misses 58% of the polyps. For smaller polyps, its sensitivity is only about 17%, so it'll miss literally 83% of the polyps will be missed, of the smaller polyps will be missed. Where colonoscopy, the larger polyps, 95% of those polyps will be found, will be removed, and can prevent the cancer from occurring.
And when you're doing a colonoscopy, you remove small polyps. Those are sort of the potential big polyps.
Correct. So the small polyps may grow up and become big polyps. I've always been amazed, too, because I've had some small polyps that we take out, and lo and behold, in that small polyp, you'll find a small focus of cancer that, you know, if you would have left it there, within a couple of years would have been devastating for the patient.
Okay, and what is a polyp?
A polyp is a small benign growth. So it is a tumor, but it's a benign tumor. So the polyp in and of itself cannot spread, but over time that polyp grows and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually the polyp is what turns into the cancer. Now the time frame is thought to be about 7 to 10 years from when a polyp starts until it turns into cancer. That's one of the reasons when we talk about colon cancer screening, we talk about every 10 years if you have a normal colon, because we want to catch it before it turns into the cancer.
All right. So, do all polyps turn into cancer?
Probably not. The problem is we can't tell which ones will and which ones will not.
Okay. So, and some are big and some are small anyway, I presume?
Correct.
Okay. So, back to the Cologuard very briefly. How does this test work? What does it do?
Basically, what you do is you provide a stool sample in a box and you mail it back to the Cologuard company, and what they do is they're looking for blood in that stool, and they're also looking for colon cancer. So colon cancer, you're not going to have this lot of false positives, and so positive test, anything in the colon. I have a colon cancer, I'm going to die. Not always the case, but it does lead to another dilemma for us, because we don't know what it means to have a positive Cologuard and a normal colonoscopy. We don't know, are there cells there that are indeed heading towards a colon cancer. So typically what we're recommending at this point is we'll actually have a shorter interval to relook at that colon, because there's just not data out there to tell us what does it mean if it's positive and there's nothing in the colon.
What does it indicate, if anything, I guess, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're talking to Dr. Joseph Gallagher from gastroenterology at Evangelical Community Hospital. He's now the medical director of the Endoscopy Center. There's a lot more to discuss about here and some new aspects of this. One relates to the Affordable Care Act and sort of a little quirk that could cost you a little bit of out-of-pocket money. And so we will talk about that, and we'll talk about some other trends when we come back, and I'm going to ask that how can I prevent colon cancer for me in the future question again when we come back. We'll be back where you're talking to Dr. Gallagher again.
From news across the world to events in your community, hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WDKOK Sunrise. We are literally right in the middle of our interview with Dr. Joseph Gallagher. He's from Evangelical Community Hospital, specifically gastroenterology at Evangelical, and the medical director of the Endoscopy Center. I still call it the new Endoscopy Center at Evangelical Community Hospital. Now, you were one of the individuals involved in owning the private business there, but Evan really wanted it to be a part of their growing system. How long ago was that we made that transition?
That was about 18 months ago. We even purchased our practice and endoscopy center, and so nothing's really changed in that time. So okay. We still do a lot of our procedures there. We have our office open there, and so really it was a pretty seamless transition.
Okay, so you've gone from a high stress life to being a great employee, I'm sure, right?
Of course.
Well, good for you. Well, good. Well, yeah, and it was a good move for Evan. We know that there's a lot of contentment on all sides associated with that. March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month, you tell us, so this is the reason that we're talking to a enterologist. What would I call you?
Just a gastroenterologist.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the particular segment. We're talking about colonoscopy. We talked a little bit about Cologuard being an okay detector, almost too late for some individuals, but I guess better late than never for detecting colon cancer. But missing polyps, which is what your colonoscopy is all about, these preventative screenings.
Correct. So the idea that, you know, our goal has always been to prevent cancer. I mean, a couple of years ago, the American Cancer Society had a great advertising program. It was get the test, get the polyp, get the cure. So basically, you can prevent the disease from ever happening just by finding the polyps before they turn into the cancer, removing them, as well as detecting cancer early is also the other thing. The good news is that if cancer is detected early, it can be cured by surgery. So hopefully we can prevent it, and that's really our goal. And so we recommend, you know, anybody with of any age who has symptoms, changes of bowel habits, blood in the stool, needs to be checked. And of course, screening starting at age 50 in low average risk people, those without a history of polyps or cancer, and those without a family history. So if you have a family history, we start earlier in checking the person, because there is a strong genetic component as well to the development of colon cancer.
All right, so keep that information here. We just learn so much more every day about what parents pass on to kids in terms of great health, but propensity for certain ailments as well. Affordable Care Act made sure that screening was paid for. You mentioned that in our first segment. Do most insurance companies pay for these screenings at age 50?
Yes. So, and the great news is that for colon cancer screening, due to the Affordable Care Act, it is typically 100% covered. For a screening test, they will cover one screening test pretty much a year. It's one of the issues, as I was telling you before, that we've run into, unfortunately, with some folks being a little upset after they had a positive Cologuard. Your colonoscopy is no longer screening; it's now diagnostic. So, diagnostic tests are done if you have a sign or a symptom, and in that case, you're responsible for copays, responsible for deductibles and things of that nature.
So maybe something to keep in mind is you could have had what I would call a pretty definitive screening, that is a colonoscopy, for free because your insurance thinks that's a fabulous idea. Everybody does. So that would happen. But you do the Cologuard, you go back to a doc around here and you say, Dr. Gallagher, I had a positive test on the Cologuard. Here's what that said. Then you're into screening, and of course, that triggers some activity.
Correct. Because then it's a diagnostic test when you've come at that point, and so it changes the way it's reimbursed by the insurance companies.
All right. So you may have some costs associated with that. Maybe get the free screening, and it's going to be so much more informational across the board.
Now, it's still critical if you have a positive test. It's still critical to get the test because, obviously, if there's a colon cancer there, you need to know, yes, it's a colon cancer there, or you need to know there's not a colon cancer there. But if there is, you need to know, because if it's not treated, obviously, you'll die. I mean, it's that simple. Untreated colon cancer is fatal.
And one of the things you find out is that when you're doing this colonoscopy, just as a pure screening, you hit age 50, you get the screening, but it's a little bit more than just a test, because if you find any polyps, you remove them and test them, so you sort of have a blank slate there for a time.
Correct. So it's not only, colonoscopy is not only a diagnostic test, but it's a therapeutic test. So if you find the polyp, you can remove the polyp. Even we've had times when we found early colon cancers that are within a polyp that we cure just by removing that polyp and don't require any further intervention.
I remember when I had my colonoscopy, in addition to saying really strange things to the nurses, which is another topic, she showed me pictures of the polyps that I got to see. And, you know, she said, this is what it looked like. This is what it means. This is, you know, doc's going to say more, but this is, you know, these are your images.
Correct. So we can see them. We don't routinely print out the pictures at this point, but we actually today with the electronic health record, it actually ends up going right into the electronic health record. You can certainly see the images and see the polyps, and you know, once they're removed, they're gone. They're not going to come back in the same place. But the thing you have to remember is once you've had a polyp removed, whatever caused that polyp, that condition that created that polyp, is involved over the whole colon. So once you've had a polyp, it means that, yeah, there's an increased incidence that you're going to get, an increased risk that you're going to get more polyps moving forward. And so then we screen more frequently after that to make sure. I personally had polyps, and so I'm actually coming up due again here to have another colonoscopy.
But are you every 10 years? You're probably about 60?
No. I'm 58, and I will not be every 10 years ever again, so I'll be 3 to 5 years pretty much from here on out.
And when you get to be 90, you're still doing it every 5 years or 10 years?
Now, typically, there's a lot of discussion on that as to when to stop colon cancer screening. And I believe we need to take it individually. So if somebody has multiple polyps, you want to continue screening, but you have to take into account the person's health. And so usually over the age of late 70s to 80, we'll typically want to sit down and discuss that with the patient, because the risks are higher the older you get. So you also have to look at the patient's underlying health conditions, because if their health is not good, the benefit you're going to get by doing the test may be outweighed by the risks that are involved.
There's always some risk associated with any procedure, and no such thing as anything risk-free these days. You also mentioned a little bit earlier that the trend is that individuals under the age of 50 seem to be getting colon cancer more often. That trend's going up. That's not good.
That is correct. It's been about 1% increase per year. Now, the thing you got to remember is that still the incidence and risk of getting colon cancer under the age of 50, particularly under the age of 40, is much, much, much lower than people over the age of 50. So if we kind of watch the risk, it's fairly flat. And at the age of 50, it quickly turns up, and there's a significant increase in the risk at that point. But over what we'd seen in the distant past, we're seeing an increase in those younger age groups, which is certainly raising concern and raising a question, do we need to start screening earlier? And so that's why I think it is diligent at a younger age. If you have any of the signs or symptoms of colorectal cancer, the bleeding, the change in the bowel habits, those are things that should alert you and should alert you to talk to your doctor.
40's the new 70 for this tiny sliver of the population. That's not good. That's going the wrong direction. What should I do if I want to prevent colon cancer? What goes into sort of sound policy if I want to do that?
Well, the key to preventing colon cancer can be several fold. One, do all the things that keep us healthy. You know, there's some data that suggests that if we don't eat as much red meat, that may increase the incidence. Eating more fruits and vegetables may increase the incidence. Don't smoke. Don't drink excessively. All those things can play a role. Exercise seems to perhaps have a protective effect. Make sure you keep your weight at a reasonable level, because that also, as the weight goes up, the incidence and risk of colon cancer increases.
Oh, okay. So this is just the sort of the normal shtick that good docs talk about.
Yeah.
Get some exercise, eat right. Do you have to ride 79 miles a day in order to do this?
You do not.
Dr. Gallagher's a big bike rider, so you can see him on the rail trails around here. Never doing 20, right? You'd always do 20 plus you're out there.
If I could, my standard is, because the Buffalo Valley Rail Trail is 9 miles each way, it's 18 is my average daily ride. If I can get out on the weekends, I go hit one of the longer trails.
So you ride your bike to Mifflinburg just like I, walk across the street or something, right?
That's true.
So you could spend a lot of time at the Rusty Rail.
It's
a place out there. I've done that. I rode my bike there one time and then stopped in. So, Where do I get more information on all of this? So much sound advice and information we've passed along.
So, I mean, certainly if you need more information, you can contact Gastroenterology of Evangelical. The American Cancer Society has information on this. It'd probably be the two most best places to get more information.
Go to evanhospital.com. Honestly, there's just no important health topic that you can't get at least the full answer and maybe just send off in the right direction. But sound information always starts there. Dr. Joseph Gallagher, thank you so much for coming back.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Dr. Joseph Gallagher, Gastroenterology of Evangelical and Medical Director of the Endoscopy Center.